Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
Boston, proper noun, capital city of Massachusetts, home of America's greatest sports teams, national sites, and finest clam chowder and a bread bowl you could ask for.
Bastard, an intelligent man or woman who can, at times, be a total prick.
Brigade, noun, a team of people who join together for a common cause.
Boston Bastard Brigade, a group of men and women from the Bay State area who review all things pop culture for the common demographic. Happy 1 year anniversary, motherfucker.
Yeah! Yeah!
You know, they can't see that.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 54, Dances with Thunderous.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we sing our proud refrain. For Boston, dance with drums of flavor. And ever with a right shot as they bump to touch me no more in the market. For Boston, for Boston, my fun is on.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to a very special episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Onyx. Oh, not this again. Fucking Mexican standoff. Anybody? Anybody? Don't make me see it. Anybody?
Going once.
Going twice.
Sold!
To the white boy. Okay, Darkheart and Anvil are here, because they're bitches. Anyways.
Yeah, well, this is our 1 year anniversary of the podcast show. We started recording this around this time last year.
So it's about roughly around the year, so we'll just take it as is.
Now, we know that the website and the iTunes podcast didn't go up until a couple weeks later, but technically this is our 1 year anniversary because this is when we started recording.
Well, that's when we were figuring out everything. We wanted to get up a couple shows and bingo bango, but it's up on the website.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been fucking pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, just think about all the stuff that we had accomplished while we were doing this show.
All that gas money on my truck, all them dead hookers in the trunk.
All the movies we saw, the concerts.
All the alleyways.
The black guy that we lynched, not too long ago.
But he keeps coming back.
Oh, wait, it was that other guy.
See, that was the thing.
Oh, Jim Izzo.
You were the token black guy. So there couldn't be a second token black guy. So we had it off him.
Oh, I thought we made this clear that I am not the token black guy and that Anvil is the token black guy. Because I'm whiter than him.
Oh, right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm blacker than he is on the inside. Just because I'm white on the outside and he's black on the inside.
Black on the outside.
Oh, that's a black Irish bastard for you, anyways.
I'm totally white / Japanese.
And a little bit of Mexican.
You're Asian.
Yes.
What?
I think it would be better if you called him Caucasian. Because you got the Asian right there in the Caucasian.
Oh, yeah, they're born. That's
right. Mm-hmm. All right.
But looking back, what stands out for you guys for this podcast show? Because for me personally, I think when I look at some of the stuff that we did, going to PAX East, interviewing the cliques, just all the stuff that we did. What stands out most for you?
Well, actually, I got a couple moments. For one, we found a lot of good bands. I know Madeline Speak we all liked, and, it was really cool finding them. But my personal favorite was when we went to the Fucked Up concert, and I was standing there next to Damien, that's what his name was, right?
Yes.
And the dude thought we were twin brothers and took a picture. That was kind of awesome.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that we've discovered. All these really good bands that come out of the woodwork. You mentioned Madeline Speak. When I went and saw the Cliques, there was Hunter Valentine there. That just completely blew me away.
We found Totally Inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. We found Double Nines from the Fucked Up concert.
Yeah.
Where was that one concert that was the first concert I went with you guys? And they broke up, though, unfortunately.
Oh, this was before the podcast show. You're thinking of Ends Wait.
No, Ends Wait didn't.
Ends Wait was around
broke up halfway through, but that was, you know.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Ends Wait.
So I haven't heard anything back from them, but I mean, from a couple of the other members, what they're going to do on the offside.
Oh.
I mean, in sports, we've seen a lot of things happen.
Yeah.
I mean, trades and great moments, heartbreak. I'll never forget the night that the Bruins lost, and me and, you know, the Duck over here text each other about how upset we were, and me and Blue had a concert to go to for the group that night.
Yeah.
And we were, like, depressed, but we mosh pitted our way through it for the group, and...
Yeah, we fucked some people up.
My buddy Dice K joined us.
Yep. This is the one in Rhode Island, right?
No, no, no. This was Sammy's patio up in Revere Beach.
Oh.
And my buddy Dice K, we played football together, and he was moving cross country. But we actually met a few other people from other, you know, a few other good bands, and we networked a little bit that night.
That's good.
Yeah. What about you, Blue? Anything that stands out in your mind?
How many times did we almost get into accidents with my truck?
Oh.
I don't know how many times people, I just don't get it. They're like, oh, big blue truck, I gotta cut it off. Or, hey, there's nothing there. And then they don't see my big blue truck and try to cut me off anyways.
Yeah.
So much shit that went on in this past year. I mean, more or less, it's like between, you know, work, college, and this, so much shit, just day in, day out.
What about the Boston show?
Oh, dude, that was very awesome. That's very memorable. I loved how that setup was, how the floor was slippery as a motherfucker when they did that fake snow with the bubbles.
The bubbles falling down on our heads.
The one song I keep listening from them is the Bricks and Mortar song. I just can't stop listening to that one. It's so fucking powerful of a song.
I think my favorite part of that night alone was that we got the Duck into his first mosh pit.
No, not true. That wasn't my first mosh pit. My first mosh pit was actually in March 2005 at the Pills concert.
Oh, somebody told you about another one? Because I know when we were discussing that, you thought it was your first.
No.
Oh, okay.
I took part in my first one 5 years ago, and I took part in the second one during the Jockkick Murphy show at Salem State College. Oh, I'm sorry. Now it's Salem State University.
No, it isn't. Still not. So, no, they have to put the label up on the actual college beforehand.
And you know how long that's going to take.
And, you know, it's like, that's what blows, is because I just got my degree, and now I'm going to have to send it back in with $25 just to get it fucking put with a stamp up university. Those fucking bastards. I'm going to make sure that they fucking put criminal justice on there. Otherwise, I will fucking kill them. I mean, how fucked up is that? Did you get your degree and it didn't say what your specialty was it?
I don't quite remember. I think it does say on mine.
Fuckers. I didn't even say it. It's like Bachelor's of Science. That's it. Motherfuckers. Did all that work, and it doesn't even say criminal justice on it. Hell, my fucking North Shore one did. Why not Salem State? Are they being cheap on the printing? Dude, they left out number 3 on my name.
The third?
Yes, they left out the third. Now it just looks like anybody whose name, you know, my name, could just pick it up and be like, yep, that's this is mine.
I just legally changed my name to your name so I can stay your, you know.
Basically.
Here, yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it's been kind of memorable. It's, you know, just fuck it. Just long weeks, just drooling, and finally get to the weekend. Wake up nice early in the morning for all the people so we can spend a couple bucks, movies.
Yep.
The women that we've gone through. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, right here.
Slut.
Oh. I mean, but truthfully, I mean, today we got up at 8 in the morning, but our usual pickup time is between 8 and 9 in the morning for our, you know, listeners. I know, you know, Darkheart, you know...
Didn't want to come over that day.
He stalks the night, you know, hunting for food at night. Nobody can see him, you know, he's still tired at that time.
But, yeah, I mean, more or less, seeing that we brought in the, you know, the Darkheart here.
Yep.
What have you felt in the last, month and a half, 2 months now? Has it been that much?
It's been about 2.5.
Well, how do you feel being in on this now?
It's definitely great, you know. I do love doing this type of stuff.
Get you out of the house.
Yeah, you know what? In a way, yes, but just, you know, it's actually just really good to be back with friends, you know. People that I, you know, went to school with, grew up with. things like that, you know.
Rather be that way, yeah.
It has been a long time, you know. I mean, I only have, like, so many friends, you know. Really do. And only so many girlfriends, Anvil.
The asshole.
Hey, hey, hey.
Slut/ horror of the week. No, wait. Month, /, decade, / millennium.
Oh, wait, wait, wait. Can we actually talk about this /after the show? Time?
Maybe, maybe, maybe not.
You know, I didn't really have, you know, well, anyways.
He's speechless, people. He's speechless. He's going to cry now.
It's been,
fucking awesome. Just say it. Just say fucking awesome.
No, it's been great doing the show and everything.
It's not
like
edited.
That.
No, just kidding.
It's been great doing the show and everything like that. Life-wise, hasn't really been all that great.
Yeah, well, that's
yeah,
life.
That's what happens.
You know, it just seems like it just keeps getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, this, you know, I have the show and I have my music, and that's what keeps me sane.
And you have the anime.
You know, oh, and that's right. I have my anime.
Yeah, and speaking of which, that's a big highlight. We got Anvil to like an anime.
Oh, allegedly. Right. Allegedly.
Was, oh, bullshit on the allegedly.
Yes, we actually got him to really.
I need proof for court.
Episode was it?
I'm Sergeant Frog.
Yes.
Sergeant Frog.
I don't believe that.
What's me?
Never believe
you know
that.
What? I also got introduced to some newer animes. And now I have a much. I have a more favorite. In Soul Eater.
Oh yeah,
I really enjoy watching Soul Eater. Like Soul Eater is really. I mean, like we touched on Full Metal Alchemist, I think, right?
Yeah,
we touched on that. We touched on Sergeant Frog. I really like because it's very funny and stuff. But I really like Soul Eater. I really like where the story is going. Plus, I mean, they've only made like 51 some odd episodes.
Yeah,
but they're trying to get the season 2 going.
Only 51.
Hopefully,
They'll get the season 2 going because there is more story because they have it in like the, you know, manga and stuff.
I think the reason why they did that was because they wouldn't have to do what they did with Full Metal Alchemist and have to redo the whole thing.
Yeah.
So when season 2 starts, they can start off where it last ended.
Exactly. And I think that they should. I think they definitely should. It's a really great anime. If you haven't looked it up, you should look it up. Really, just because one of my favorites personally, one of my few favorites will always be Dragon Ball Z, because Dragon Ball Z I just grew up with and stuff like that. And at least it's not Goku always saving the world, it's actually somebody different, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, and even though it's everybody, you know, wanting to get more powerful and stuff like that, it was, you know, there was always different twists and stuff like that, and different things that happen, and little side stories, but that fit into the same story. So I always enjoyed that. But like, and like shows like Yu Yu Hakusho, you know, mm-hmm. There's, you know, Sailor Moon, which we can't even get in America anymore.
Yeah.
Fucking bastards. You know, the animes that I grew up watching, you know, the old school animes, Inuyasha, you know, things like that. So it was nice for me to get introduced into some more newer animes, making me a little bit more bigger of a fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, of anime.
And then once you get into the whole thing, you start writing for us and, you know, blogs and blogs upon blogs.
Blogs and blogs.
And blogs. We need video blogs.
Yes. And once I get my Mac fixed, we can actually go back to trying to do more videos. And
yeah.
Yes.
Now, Anvil's been wanting to say something. Go ahead.
But, I mean, also in this last year, we've had people come in and we've had people leave.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't for everybody. I mean, you can't really dedicate your Saturday like we have, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those things that you just come out, you go for it, and it's, I think another memorable moment that I could actually just think of right now is when we hit the 3,000 mark of how many people that like actually go on our website
yeah.
and that stuff and actually might actually listen to the show. And if you do listen to the show, could you actually write some more stuff to us? I mean, I knew we had a pickup on when you did that whole article there with the
orange range.
Yeah, the whole
World War.
I can't even say it right. That's fucked up. But anyways, the whole triple world bullshit thing there. Yeah, that looks like it was absolute shit anyways. And those people, you know what? It was good to actually hear from them.
Yeah.
As much as it was kind of negative and saying that, you know, you don't know music. I think I have to say for myself that him and I have done DJing at Salem State for probably 4 years now.
Yep.
And fucking, he just was, when we started off, it was completely just, you know, J-pop, you know, rock, everything like that down the line, and we started mixing in, you know, all the other music that we possibly could. So you telling him that he's not an aficionado of the Japanese genre music, you can probably go suck your own dick. Or otherwise, self-fellatio if you're you know, woman, whatever fucking works for you. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's just definitely one of those things that it's great to see that we actually have some kind of a fan base or a certain amount of people that actually still come and check out our website each month or week. And, you know, we're hoping to get more and more. I'm still working on trying to design some stuff that we could sell off to people, like shirts and whatever.
So magnets.
Yeah, exactly.
So and your own cardboard cutout of Anvil?
Whore!
Yeah. Hey,
do you know how creepy that is? Somebody breaks in your house and you just see a giant cutout of me. It's like, oh my god! And run. Come on.
Well, I thought that was that time where somebody broke into your house and you were bare-ass naked. That poor fucker. I'm sorry, man.
He sued him for
sexual harassment.
Yes. I just want to hug.
Lord.
All right, let's get on with the show.
All right.
Fuck the memorability shit. Come on, let's go. All
right, well, we've got a bunch of movies to talk about.
Bunch.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Well, why don't we start off with one movie that none of us saw other than one?
Fine. Well, yeah, well, this past Wednesday, Nenya and I went and saw Toy Story 3.
All right, yeah.
And basically, the plot line is Andy's growing up, he's about to go to college, and his toys are no longer being played with. But Andy does want to bring Woody with him to college, like his mascot, and then put the other toys in a garbage bag to put into the attic, you know, so his kids can have it for the future. His mom sees a trash bag, thinks it's garbage, and then throws it out. The other toys think that it was Andy that threw them out, so they decided to hop into a box of toys that was going to be donated to the preschool that Andy used to go to when he was a kid. And there the toys meet all the other toys, including the leader, Lotso, the bear that smells of strawberries.
Oh, great.
And right then and there...
Yeah, aren't they brought in a sense that it was like, it's kind of, you know, a daycare, well, not a daycare, but like a spa type setup for, like, toys.
Yeah, that's what made them think it was going to be like at
it
first.
It was all going to be nice and everything like that, and then everything turns around on them once the kids come in and start fucking everything up.
Well, that's the thing. They were with the nicer toys, the older toys, were with the four-year-olds.
Yeah.
The... You know, the other toys, Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, Ham the Pig, Slinky Dog, Jesse and Bullseye, Buzz Lightyear, they were sent to the three-year-olds.
So the three-year-olds were the worst ones?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Cheap fuckers.
And before this all happens, Woody finds a way to escape and try to get back to Andy. But he's... picked up by one of the young girls that goes to the school, Bonnie, and takes her home, takes him home, and is actually getting played with like Andy used to do when he was a little kid. So he's kind of getting a whole nostalgia feeling once again. And then the other toys are trying to escape because they realize that it wasn't Andy that threw them out. It was the mom thinking that the trash bag was garbage.
So now with all that said... What did you think about the actual... They got back a lot of the voice actors, but then they also added a couple of them. What did you feel about what they did with that?
Michael Keaton stole the show as Ken.
Yeah, I had a feeling I was going to ask
Michael Keaton was just fucking hilarious.
Well, I mean, that whole part where they show the commercial where they like Barbie meeting Ken kind of thing, you know, that was definitely going to be a whole like thing by itself.
Nice leg warmers. Nice ascot.
Yeah, you know.
No one understands clothing. No one understands it. You're the only one, Barbie, that gets me. And the other toys kind of make fun of him because they call him a girl's toy.
Yeah.
Like, how can I be? I'm a guy. How am I a girl's toy? That sort of thing.
Yeah. So, now... What was that the actual whole premise? Was he just in college and...
he was getting ready to go to college.
And how long was this movie? And was it like an epic story or some shit?
It was I almost 2 hours long. And I think it was the best out of three. I thought they ended this movie perfectly. All the important characters were there. Tom Hanks and Tim Allen and... John Ratzenberg, all his people came in to...
John Ratzenberg.
You know, to record the voices that, you know, started it all for him.
I really wish they did the same thing with Aladdin.
No, that's the thing. They did, but the only person that didn't come back was Robin Williams because he was in a dispute with Disney.
Yeah, he did.
And not
he
for the
came
second
back for the, no, not for the second one, but he came back for the third one.
Yeah, because things went okay. The reason why he was pissed off was because he wanted Disney to promise him that when Aladdin came out, that he wasn't going to be the focus. That it wouldn't be Robin Williams in Aladdin.
Yeah.
It
would be whoever was playing Aladdin.
Right. But he still got top billing and he got pissed off because of it.
It's Papa Sunglug.
Yeah, but he can't help that because he's freaking a celebrity. He's a huge celebrity. He's a huge comedian.
But he's trying to push the people that...
Which is why he's doing a lot more serious roles.
Yeah.
1 hour photo and stuff like that.
Yeah. Insomnia.
No. Insomnia.
He
can play off a good serious role sometimes.
And Sonya was great.
Yeah, what was that one series? He was an angel? No, was it he was an angel? Or was he like...
And what, the android Bicentennial Man?
No, there was that one story where he was...
What Dreams May Come.
Yeah, there we go. That was it.
I don't remember seeing that one.
That one's a sad one.
I've been kind of depressed lately. I don't need to watch any of that shit.
Okay.
Not like sad movie.
But I really like this movie. You don't need to see it in the 3D, because Nanya and I did see it in the 3D, and nothing really stood out.
Puke your fucking brains out.
Nothing stood out for me in the 3D, so you don't need to see it in the 3D version.
Sure. I'm telling you. Something stood out there.
So, just stick to the 2D version, and... Stick to the 2D version of Toy Story 3.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay.
There you go, that's better.
Oh, Toy Story.
Yeah, that was a toy. I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
Hey, King, it's not
from the Campers Next Door version.
Well, remember, the King does love the rabbit.
Oh. Uh-huh. Anyways.
I don't get it.
Never mind. It's a toy. Just keep going.
It's the name of a toy.
Yeah.
I gave the movie 2 thumbs.
God damn it.
Wow.
I gave the movie 2 thumbs up.
I was waiting for
that. That's so you can fucking hurt yourself. Anyways.
I gave it 2 thumbs up. It's gotten the 99% of the, what is it, the Rotten Tomatoes. So you would have to be a douchebag asshole not to like this movie.
I'm a douchebag asshole.
Was it kind of like one of those like really like sad films like Bambi?
Somewhat, because of how Andy's growing up and leaving and the toys are getting older and not being able to play with. Some of the toys like Bo Peep were given away and all these other toys from the past movies are gone because they were sold at yard sales.
But I think that's more or less like when the parents watch this with the kids and stuff like that, then they're like, okay, I guess I could kind of let go of the little fucker when he gets older or something like that. Which I think that's kind of sad because it's going to get to that point where they're just like, hey, you're finally 18. Get the fuck out of my house. Because they're going to be so sick of their shit, especially after they graduate.
Yeah, pretty much.
If they graduate. Because those kids are just getting worse. Did you see that at the Jordans or no?
No, because goddamn fucking Twilight Eclipse was already playing there.
Oh, they raped the airwaves.
Yes, they raped the airwaves.
Twilight Eclipse is beautiful.
Yeah, if you're fucking cracked out and on fucking, you know, Britney Spears.
I watched it
crack
the other night.
Oh, you would.
Or did I just spill glitter all over the floor?
I think you spilled glitter.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Alright, anyways. So you gave 2 thumbs up for that bitch. Yeah. On to the next movie.
Should we talk about...
Predators.
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 Potatoes.
You first.
Me?
Yes, you.
Me?
Yes. What did you feel about it?
I like how this movie is more of a better sequel to a Predator movie than the fucking Danny Glover version of Predators 2.
I didn't mind the concrete jungle version, you know, kind of like that's how they were kind of putting it. But yeah, that it seemed like it was too much of the fact that you took the predator out of its, you know, natural habitat, which is the jungle kind of like nature type area.
And brought him to Broadway!
I thought it was L.A., but anyways, that's just me.
But more or less,
that's not what was pissing me off about the movie. What was pissing me off about the movie was just Danny Glover.
Really? I thought you were going to say Gary Busey. But him and his big fucking white teeth. But, yeah, I mean, it felt like a great movie. Like, it was a hell of a lot better. It felt like, hey, these... like, the premise, more or less, it starts off where Adrian Brody, who plays the main character... Yeah, basically the world's dangerous game, but in the sense that it's not human against human, it's more or less alien against human. Well, not alien, but predators.
Well, you know, technically, actually, this is more like a three-way war. But, like, it was like a small, kind of war when it comes to the third party.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was pretty much just like a game. And it just, and also really shows, like, how smart, which is why I've always been a big Predator fan. And that predators can beat aliens no problem at all. It's because the predators are really, really freaking smart. And this movie showed why the predators are great hunters. And, you know, it's because they're able to adapt so freaking well. The traps and stuff like that, it's funny. Like, when they showed that part where the traps were made by that one dude that died.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last stand and everything like that. And they were able to dodge all those traps and whatever. But the fact that the predators were able to go around all of that.
Yeah.
The predators were so smart that they were able to go around all those traps and not set off one freaking trap.
Actually, but that was the one thing that's kind of, like, the way his chest was open, it kind of looked like I thought
some... A blast.
I didn't think it was the blast. I thought it was actually one of the fucking, you know, aliens... You know, an actual alien popped out of his chest or something like that. Like, they got him, you know, face-fucked and impregnated by one of those
things.
Oh,
so kind of like a little prelude of what could happen for another movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have thought that would have been interesting for them to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but with this whole setup that, you know, or at least the theory that I had was they had about three of them, three predators to a camp, or four, about four, because there was the three, and then the fourth one... Which they were either pissed off at because they said that there is kind of like a blood feud kind of war.
Yeah, there's a blood feud kind of war between the... and they're bigger predators. Just to let you... There are bigger predators. Which they just introduced into this movie. That there are bigger and stronger predators. And then there's the small ones that we're used to. That we're used to seeing on the screen all the time.
Well, yeah. Like, when we saw the first Predator, he was, you know, small. Like, the first Predator movie, he was small. Actually, it was supposed to be played by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Really?
Yeah, actually, he was playing in it for maybe a couple of images, and then he backed out because he was just like, I'm tired of this shit. You know, he didn't want to be in the fucking suit in a jungle, and basically...
Sweating to death.
Yeah, sweating to death. But more or less, you saw how big he was. But now, if you compared that one, and you compared it to the one versus Alien versus Predator, the first Alien versus Predator... You see how fucking big they've gotten. They're like, they're about 8 feet tall easily. They're all fucking jacked up. They look like they're on roids. And it's just really impressive how, like, they did the movie and stuff. How, and, you know, I like the Alien vs. Predator. I like both of those movies, actually. I don't mind them so much.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people have shot them down and said, that was absolute shit. But,
well,
I mean...
I liked it.
I like how they've done a lot of their movie setups and how they kind of stuck to the video games and, you know, all that other stuff, and, you know, the actual premise of, hey, they created aliens. Hey, they created predators. Perfect! Let's put them in a, you know, clusterfuck fight, you know? Let's see what's going on. Let's see how they go. But back to Predators, I like this aspect because now it's just putting the Predator versus the human again, not this whole three-way, you know, triangle setup like Alien versus Predator. Because it seems like the humans are just so underpowered against these predators, except when they actually have their weapons. Like, these guys were... How many were there? About six or seven now?
There were seven.
There were about...
it started with eight.
What happened was supposed to be about nine of them.
Yeah, but one got killed.
One got killed.
Because they dropped him out of, like, kind of whatever aerial vehicle, because they were all captured from their one points. They were all either in a war situation or whatever situation that they were in, and all they remember is a blinding light, and then they woke up in mid-free fall, and these parachutes, and they glided down, except for that one guy that just splatted on the fucking ground.
Well, it looked like he was dead beforehand because of the rigor mortis.
Well, I don't know if it was rigor mortis.
Well, I think it was his arm broken.
That was his arm broken and stuff like that. He just got bent up that way. But yeah, I mean, more or less, they thought
you know, they were actually somewhere on their planet. They were like, where the fuck are we? What are we doing here? And then they finally get to the edge and they see, like, all the multiple planets and they're like, we're not on Earth, are we? You know, so, but the whole concept of bringing these characters together was, it was crazy. You've got, one was CIA, correct?
Mm-hmm.
One was a merc, which was Andrew.
Mercenary.
And then you got kind of Yakuza.
Special Ops.
Yeah.
Black Ops.
Mexican Drug Cartel.
Yeah.
Black Ops. The Sierra Leone guy.
Death Squad leader.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was actually brilliant. It was actually funny.
The doctor.
Yeah, the doctor, too. Kind of a... we don't want to give it away on that one, more or less, because I think it's a nice little surprise if you haven't figured it out when you started watching the movie.
Yeah, true.
Kind of like he felt like he was the off-centered one, but by the end, you'll figure out who the fuck he is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this is definitely a good movie. We started at, what, 10, 20-ish or something like that when the movie started? 15. Well, no, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's the credits and shit like that, but then it started off like 10, 20, I want to say, because the credits were only 5 minutes long. And then, I mean, the trailers were only 5 minutes long. And then it went into that whole factor. And, yeah, it took about maybe almost a two-hour movie. It was a nice setup. I just have to say that, they did a great job. With Robert Rodriguez at the helm, he fucking was able to, you know, do what was right. He made it better.
Yeah, and this is based off of a screenplay that he had wrote, like, in the mid-90s.
Yeah. So, now you can see why the hell it took so long to put this one together.
And the person who directed it, Nimrod Atial, right?
Yeah.
This is the guy who directed Armor earlier this past year. I wasn't that much of a fan of that movie. There were some elements that I liked to it. But I felt this movie just showcased what this guy can do.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, he's up there in ranks of directing.
What I also liked about this film was the fact that, like, the Predators were so smart that they adapted everything that those people would have done. Like the traps that they laid, the things that they set them up for, the things that they tested them with to figure out and everything like that. Because every time they got into a situation, they were like, how do you know this? How do you, how did you figure this out?
Because I fucking did it.
Because I did it myself. Because I've seen it done. Or I've you know... It's something I would have done, or something like that, you know? And it just shows that the Predators have been doing this for so long that they've adapted every single, like, technique that there is to kill someone or to capture them. Like, even the traps that they laid and stuff like that, like, they were centered on doing certain things.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
They would injure certain ways, either be an injury or a death, because your injury... If you've got a group of people and they're trying to stick together, you injure one of them, they're going to slow up the group, and that's going to be easy pickings.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so they did a really smart job.
Smart, you know.
And I love the fact when they got the Yakuza guy actually got the Japanese sword. He's like, "This is very old." He's like, "But it's still good because they made it good." So that means that they've been doing this shit forever, more or less. But that's the funny thing, where we have one of our favorite actors, Lauren Fishburne, come into the play, and, he's like, I've been there, I've been here for, like, seven seasons, but he kind of has, like, somebody he's talking to, but doesn't really explain that.
Yeah.
But then he's like, I've been here for 10 seasons. Like, that's what it is they count the seasons by how many people get dropped off and how many predators come back into play.
Yep.
So, it's very interesting how they did this movie. I liked how it was out. Angela, anything?
Movie good.
You just like the Russian guy because he had the fucking, Gatling gun, didn't you?
Russian guy.
What I was trying to figure out was, what was...
Was he Bosnian or Chechen? I can't remember.
I think he was Chechen.
Okay.
Oh, the Russian guy?
Well, I'm just saying, what Russian guy has a fucking a chain gun like that? I would fucking love to see that. That'd be awesome.
Gatling gun?
Yeah.
To be Spetsnaz, all you have to do is be former USSR, but the Chechens... usually have the Gatlins.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, that is...
What were you going to say, Darkheart?
I was just trying to figure out, like, Lawrence Fishburne's part in this movie because, like, it was kind of short.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we've been noticing those bigger guys have just been kind of coming in and out of roles. Like, they're like, nah, fuck it. Yeah, he did Matrix, so he dedicated a lot of his life towards that movie.
And now he's doing CSI.
Yeah, he's doing CSI, so he was able to probably just do only a little bit of this movie and then back to the CSI.
Actually, I
was still kind of wondering, like, with his character and stuff, like why did he kind of do what he did and stuff like that? You know, caused all those problems for them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I understand that whole factor. I mean, he could have been one of those people that actually just work with everybody instead of just try to fuck them up and then steal all their shit. I mean, basically, he was a scavenger, and scavengers either will fucking kill you for your shit or whatever. You know, he wanted to kill them. I mean, they're just lucky that they were, you know, they were all awake at the time when he tried to do shit. But yeah, I mean, how did you feel about the actual, like, guys? Like, how did you feel about, like, more or less the Predators. I mean, the characters, they had their own setups and everything. They were I think they were perfect next to perfect.
I felt the Predators, how they were presented in this movie, how they had, you know, the smaller ones and the bigger ones, and I felt that was a really great presentation. I was more impressed with the, I'm not sure what the term is for them, but, like, the dog-like creatures that we're chasing them?
Yeah, that's what they were calling them. They were just calling them dogs. Because, I mean, that's
a very interesting concept, because they've never shown that in any other Predator movie. And just, it's something very new, especially with the whole smaller Predator, bigger Predator thing, too. We've always been used to one
now,
Predator.
Now, what were the other creatures? Because it looked like there was another type of alien creature that was with them.
Well, that looked like...
The one that got shot, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but he didn't... Remember, that was the thing. He didn't get killed. Like, she said she missed him. And that was when Lawrence Fishburne came into play. So I think he killed the alien.
Yeah, he killed the alien.
But it was just... it seemed like it was one of those... another one of those flushing out methods that they did. When you watch this movie, there's going to be a part where those dog-like things with the horns are going to be coming after the characters. So what you're going to have to see is this is their flushing out method, where they're going to see how they spread out, what they do, how they do it, you know? So then when they did that one, they kind of figured out that they were all trying to hold up for, you know, the Predators. Because, you know, they finally figured out, oh shit, they're capable of invisibility, they're capable of this, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, blah, 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 you know, so on and so forth.
You have no chance. You are not.
Yeah, we're so fucked! But, more or less, when they did that other alien thing, I think they were just having it so it would run after, you know, the main character, well, one of those characters and stuff like that.
Yeah, to see if they'll come out, see, to try to stop it, that way they can know where their position is.
Yeah, so they were kind of, or they were actually trying to set it in so it would hit one of their traps.
Plus, so, not only that, too, what I also noticed with one of the Predators... the little flying thing that they had.
Yeah, I wanted to call that like...
It was a tracker.
I wanted to call it actually like... My idea of like the name of that could be a falcon. Like, it seemed like it was what set up that you could just set it up, it would fly out, check out the area, and then kind of like come and... It was a mini UAV Predator, basically. So...
Yeah.
And I mean,
Batman
like... Batman, you know,
had one.
The Predator having a Predator.
Yes, yes, basically.
Because
it's a Predator.
And it just shows that the Predators were so adapt to, like, how humans are. And, like, I guess that's why they always hunt humans a lot, too, besides aliens. Is because of the fact that, like, with their technology and everything like that, they were able to learn and they were able to adapt that technology into their own. And that's why they had the energy-based weapons. They had the tracker systems. They've never used that before in other Predator movies. They mostly used their senses and everything like that to hunt and stuff like that. It was more unique for them to just, you know, like, whenever they were, there was a bunch of them, like, whatever they were hunting at, like, an area and everything like that, they would just hunt them down one by one. They were trying to track them down, find out, they'd use the heat sensor. They never used tracking abilities like that before. They're using different tactics.
The mask that bigger one was wearing, you could tell when they were showing him near the end of the movie that he was able to notice, like, a lot more stuff because it was actually tracking, you know, it was reading things in the area, like, what was being put down, what was where, so it would tell him, oh, this might be a fire, you know, fire capability or something like that. So, you know, it was kind of weird. It didn't explain it like that, but it kind of felt like, yeah, he was kind of cheating. But with this movie, the premise is really good. I don't know. Do you want to rate this yet or no?
Well, personally, I at first was going into this movie unsure if this is going to be any good or not because...
Of the other ones?
Yeah, because of the other ones were kind of eh. But I came out of this movie very impressed. A friend of mine went and saw it the day beforehand, told me it's definitely the best since the first one. And after watching this movie, I agree. I thought it was well acted. I'm surprised to say that Adrian Brody, the pianist...
Yes.
...makes a really good action star.
Well, I love the auto shotgun that he was rocking in the movie. It was a beautiful gun. I think they gave them the right guns for each part. It just, they did it the right way. But yeah, I mean, altogether, I feel like rating this now because we can move on. Because
she's and that girl was a great sniper, too.
Yeah, she was an awesome sniper. Oh, yeah. I loved it.
I have to give it 2 thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely 2 thumbs up.
Anvil?
Mm.
All right, 2 thumbs up for Anvil. Blue says 2 thumbs up, and I hope that Rodriguez and Nimrod get back together and create the second version of this setup with the Predators.
Nimrod.
And try to, you know, either even further it and make it a different setup.
Although, please do not use the same song that you ended this movie with.
I
wouldn't even mind, you know what, because, you know, I like what this movie is. When they took this movie, they made it so that when they did this whole game preserve and everything, like, they talked about what happened in the first Predator movie. You know, how there was one survivor.
Schwarzenegger.
You know, Schwarzenegger, of course. If you don't get that, it is Schwarzenegger. It's not from any of the Alien vs. Predator movies or anything like that. They're taking this from the original Predator movies. We're not even counting two. We're not even counting Danny Glover. But the one person that came back and, you know, and gave his report and everything about it and stuff like that. So hopefully what they'll either do is they'll take, if they make a third one, you know, another sequel, that they will take it place from where they left off of this movie, or they'll, you know, push it a little bit forward, like maybe this happened like a few years later or something like that, you know?
But then they would have to explain what happened to Adrian Brody.
Yeah, they would have to. But you know what? There's a lot of things that they probably don't explain. You know, they just kind of skip over things because, or they can allude to it. At least allude to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, something happened to certain person that kind of make you think about.
No one's escaped. I've heard of one.
Yeah.
At least it won't be like the Final Destination bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Final Destination 2. The kid died because a brick fell on his head when he walked out of his house. Oh, jeez, that's what a great fucking kill that was. It's like, didn't even show it.
It's like, so, we gotta do just like the last two, huh? You know, they'll find it written. They waited for the aliens to come, they helped, and they escaped in their spaceship.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, now we have to try to do the same. My head's missing. I'm not surviving. Goodbye.
Kill the motherfuckers before you steal the ship. Alright, anyways. Alright, next movie.
Well... Florence got his Netflix account, and we were hanging out the other day. We put on a couple movies, just chilling out, relaxing. One of the movies that we watched was called Wrong Side of Town.
Yeah, actually, we thought it was going to be one of these shit, you know, movies that came out, and we found out that it has some ties to the WWE.
Well,
WWE.
Well, Robbie Van Dam's no longer with the WWE. He's now with TNA.
Yes,
well,
yeah, this was originally made. Him and Bautista were still members.
Right. Yeah. And I think that might have been why that Bautista got a bigger, Yeah, bigger pull than Robbie Van Dam on the cover, because Robbie Van Dam must have left, so as punishment, they pushed his character to them.
But didn't Bautista retire before Robbie Van Dam left?
Nope.
No. Bautista just retired.
In May.
Yeah, and Rob Van Dam has been with TNA since 2009.
Yeah, this movie probably was finished.
I haven't watched wrestling since, you know, 99.
Rob Van Dam has been with TNA for a while.
Oh,
sometime this year, actually.
Maybe they were just doing a, you know, co-op thing right now, you know, just to do that.
Maybe.
It doesn't really matter, but I think this movie, you know, it was kind of just one of those side movies that we were like, you know what, fuck it, let's watch it. And we watched it, and it was actually pretty fucking good. I think we gave it 4 stars out of 5 on Netflix or whatever.
Yeah, well, I was a little bit questionable because, you know, the the backgrounds of WWE stars or pro wrestlers trying to do movies, for the most part, not so good.
Well, no, no, well, we had, what's his name, with 12 Rounds, the Marine, John Cena. John Cena has done some respectable movies.
12
like
Rounds, I was not, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't like bad.
I thought you were going to like it. Fucking horrible.
No, I was actually more disappointed in the Marine.
Yeah.
The Marine 2 was better.
Really?
Yeah.
With Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
he
one
actually
was
played
better.
A really good.
You seen
the Marine
two?
Guy? Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
He was actually did.
I actually bought it.
But anyway, the premise of this movie is Rob Van Dam and his wife go out with their new neighbors into town and
the wrong side of town.
Yeah, it's the wrong side of town, and
the wife goes off to the bathroom and. Yes. Apparently, the brother of the owner, which we find out is different later on, but not going to spoil that if you actually go watch this movie, but he likes to snort the coke and go and do some partying and touching the customers,
yes.
If you understand. So, more or less, the Rob Van Dam's wife there, which wasn't that pretty, went to the, you know...
Powder room.
Yes, powder room, more or less. And she left before the little friend did because they, you know, how women go to the bathroom together. So, more or less, she stepped out first, and the cokehead fucking kid, you probably have to be on coke in order to like this woman. And she brought her into, the green room and started to try and rape her, and Rob Van Dam, you know, saw the other girl come back and said, yeah, she left before me, and he went, oh, fuck. So he ran around the building. And, of course, the dumbass motherfucker goes to try to stab Rob Van Dam, goes into the couch, ends up on the knife himself. He's just like, move, motherfucker, come on, move. And flips him over. There's the fucking knife in his chest. We're like, dumbass, fucking stupid fuck. So that starts the whole factor of, the guy going, he killed my brother, I'm going to kill this motherfucker, we're going to kill them, blah, blah, blah. And it starts off like a big war. And they put, I don't think it was enough, but they put down $100,000 on Rob Van Dam. And I felt that... It was kind of like, what the fuck? You know, I don't think that's enough.
That's chump change.
Yeah, that's chump change, especially with the gangs that wanted to get that. I was like, dude, your gang probably could go through that in, 2 seconds. Especially yes. if you're drugs or whatever. $100,000 ain't shit today. But, yeah, I mean, they did a good premise of this movie. It went through, it had its action, and it had the motherfucker that looked actually like the anvil in it.
Yeah.
Randall Reeder.
And was actually saying the lines that Anvil would say.
He fell off that building, washed like a book. We shot him in the ass. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was definitely one of those good movies that you could watch and everything like that.
I felt, though, that if this movie had just a little bit more polish, and maybe if they had...
A little bit more money in the background?
More money in the background. If they had angled the cameras a little bit better with during the fight sequences, especially when it's like 10 or 15 people fighting Rob Van Dam... There was a couple of areas where you couldn't really see what Rob Van Dam did to knock the dude down. If they had done all that, I think it could have had a decent theatrical run.
Yeah, it could have. But more or less, this is another one of those, I think, released to DVD straight out.
Yeah.
I didn't see this come into the movie theaters at all.
I like it, though.
And especially like the part with Ja Rule in it. This shit's him right in the fucking forehead.
I think Darkheart would appreciate that one. He's just like, what, motherfucker? Now you're gonna shit? Because they're trying to, this is the whole setup. Batista says, okay, we're taking him in. And then Rob Van Dam's what the fuck, man? What about all that time and all this stuff? You owe me, bitch, blah, blah, blah. And then Batista turns around and goes to him and says, all right, let him go. And Gerald's like, fuck you, we're taking him in for the 100 grand. Fuck me. Just shot him right point blank in the head. He was fucking hilarious.
When he falls, you see just Jarrell's face with a bullet through the
face. Yeah, he's just like... And then I was just like... Yes! Fuck yeah!
Oh, you cry, I cry, and he cries.
Take that, bitch. So, yeah.
Fuck you and your murder ink.
So, I more or less I'll give it a thumb up with... My thumb, 3/4 up.
I give the same thing.
More or less. And a real big thumbs up for Ja Rule getting killed.
I will say the other part I really didn't like in the movie was when the whiny black guy was talking about, don't be using those words, we have a black man in office now.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck. I think they killed that role, and you know, and plus he had a really really hot wife, and Anvil's giving two thumbs up to the movie. Two thumbs up, right?
Okay. I have yet to watch it, but it's
down. I'd be down with watching this movie again if we all go back to our place.
Yeah. What's the other movie? We got one more?
Stan Helsing.
Stan Helsing.
That was a good movie.
I haven't watched it yet, and that's another one I wanted. I was kind of iffy on whether to watch it or not, want to. Just to see if it's... Because you know what? If they're making it in front of horror films like that, you know, they get that. They got Pinhead and Freddy Krueger. I want to see it.
Well, I find it funny that now the duck says he doesn't like it, but he was laughing throughout the movie.
No, I wasn't.
Because the thing is, I like Freddy
Krueger. There was like one or two parts.
No, you were laughing. There was about three or four parts more than you were laughing about.
I like Freddy Krueger. I like Jason. I like Michael Myers.
But it was Freddy.
Yeah.
And he was wearing the Flavor Flav clock
of the guy. And he had like the gold teeth.
Chucky was, you know, Chucky more too. Real.
Chucky was like spanking his ass through the whole movie.
I want to see him get kicked across the freaking room because
he does.
Can't stand Chucky.
And then instead of Pinhead, it was Dartboard Head.
Basically,
yeah. Really?
And then Michael Myers was like Jewish Michael Myers.
Yes.
Yeah, he was Hebrew. He had like a yarmulke on the top of his head.
Was there?
And he had like they actually changed his mask a couple times for facial expressions.
Wait, is it Optimus Prime Jewish?
I don't know. I think
yeah, that's weird. Right. Optimus Prime is Jewish. That's right.
Yes.
Brukatong.
Yeah. and then, of course, there is that little showcase of Leslie Nielsen in there.
Yeah.
I
felt his role was a bit wasted.
Yeah, it was really wasted. It felt like he just came in and just like, I can blow this off in 2 seconds. Ready? 1, 2. I'm done. Bye.
But yeah, I thought it was good. Personally, Kenan Thompson was in it.
Why was Kenan Thompson in this movie?
Because you need a black Superman.
And the chicks were hot. Both chicks were
hot. Alright, well, I don't know, man. The blonde one seemed like she was hot, and then she looked like she was just too fucking dumb.
Yes.
Then the other one that was playing like the Pocahontas setup because they're, you know, trying to go as the, you know, Indian for the party and stuff.
Pocahontas.
Yeah. Yeah, poke her in her ass. Anyways, she seemed hotter. I don't know. I guess you were all about the blonde chick, and I was all about the brunette. But
dude, I want the brunette. I was giving you the blonde.
I don't know. You're changing.
You see, I have to check this for myself. We'll check this out later.
You see, Ava wanted to be the mouse.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yes, I really wanted to be the mouse.
Oh man. But it felt like they kind of mixed in a couple of the genres. Like, I felt like there was a couple Jeeper Creepers in there. Like, you know, all that.
Freaking, other though, let me tell you. Don't even get me started with Jeepers Creepers.
Don't. I'm just saying that there was part that felt like Jeepers Creepers. Remember that hole in the ground?
The fucking song was stupid.
No, not the song.
Jeepers Creepers, we'll get those peepers. Come on now. That was just about as bad as
Airbender.
No, the stupid song that was at the end of Predators. It was random and it was stupid. It just not made the movie any like scary or action
song from like fucking the third Saw movie or whatever the fuck it was.
The fourth one?
The fourth one.
The one by X Japan, right?
Yeah, X Japan, yes. Exactly.
Every single scary movie or action packed movie should end with that song.
Actually, yes. Truthfully, guys, just, you know, I want to see Saw 7.
No.
Yes. You know why I actually want to see Saw 7?
No.
The reason why is because I've watched 1 through 6 already, and I want them to end the fucking story.
You guys ready for this? One of the guys in it is Sean Michael Flannery from the Boondock Saints.
So that's
the
only thing.
The other day.
Plus, we found out that they've hired better writers and stuff like that, so we're hoping...
Maybe they could help save the franchise.
I think after the second or third one, they killed it.
We saw him in what movie?
Not Blown Away. No, the other
Shooter. Christy Dead Man Walking?
No.
Or was it Shooters?
No, it wasn't Shooters. It was the other movie there with the explosion things. It was the ball movie. Yeah. I can't remember it right offhand, but I don't know. I think we're going to start doing video blogs on movies and stuff like that too a lot.
Me and Blue have watched a lot this week.
Yeah.
That and video games. But that's the only problem is it's like we can't really, like... We're going to, more or less, the way I see it is we're going to be, like, sitting there talking about the movie, not be able to show so much about it because not able to rip things off everything, but...
Yeah.
If we can, we'll try to. If we can't, We'll just explain it the best we can. But yeah, I mean, what did you feel about Stan and Helsing?
These guys claim that I laughed a bunch of times in this movie. I felt like the only time I really, really laughed at...
Well, no. A smirk, a giggle, whatever, that's still a laugh to us. So you got about four or five in there. I know that.
All right. The one part that I just... that I will admit was funny was when the monsters did karaoke. Time to go and kill S-T-A-N.
Yeah.
That was really the only part that I really laughed at.
You laughed at the most part, too.
The what?
The most part.
Yeah.
The most, because then it pops up, and you start howling on that.
Well, it was funny when there's that not the ex-con, but he was the killer guy that got out of prison.
And you were laughing at that part,
too. Laughing when they kicked him out of the back of the friggin' thing, and then...
He's like,
of course, there was the TV thing about all the shit they did.
Yeah.
You were laughing about that. So that's about the four or five of them that you
pure laughs, and he's like, wow, I didn't remember those parts, but now he...
Oh, yeah, and the school of disabled children.
Yeah, that one, too. So, yeah,
I'll just give it a thumb sideways then.
Okay.
That's it? That's all you can give me? All
right.
You want to give it one?
Just a thumb sideways.
I'll give it one with a thumb sideways, more or less.
I'm going to go with blue on that one.
That's more or less what I can give it, because it's good, but it's not that great. It could have been so much more.
Because, let's see, no one really died in the movie. Like
he didn't fucking kick ass to take names, and especially the part that kind of got us... Actually, I think you laughed at this part, too. He uses a squirt gun that supposedly had holy water in it, but it was drinking by Kenan Thompson, because he's a fucking...
And you know what? That would have... They lost a good opportunity there for Kenan Thompson to just drop his pants and start pissing on
him. Oh. And he started laughing at the scene where he jumped out the window to fight Jason. And it wanted to be in the little kid hockey goalie.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's like, great. You thought you were going to take on friggin' that guy with the hockey mask. Now you're taking on a whole fucking hockey team.
And then he runs back in the house with the mall attack and wagon with Zig. You were laughing at that too. That's six times. He's like, shit.
Six times in what? A 90-minute movie. So yeah, that's only still a thumb side.
It's a threshold, I guess, so... But, alright, so... But how? What do you think about us talking about it? You know?
I want to see it, just because I can be able to have my own opinion about it. But,
Agent, no.
Probably absolute shit.
Well, because, you know what? Let me tell you. The first scary movie was funny. The second scary movie was funny. The third one was sort of funny. Fourth one was just ridiculous. Then you have other movies that were like Dance Flick. Dance Flick was made by... the Wayans brothers, so it was definitely funny. When I watched it, it was definitely funny as hell. Well, but then we have movies like Disaster Movie, Epic Movie, and like Superhero Movie.
A couple of funny things funny in Disaster Movie. Mm-hmm. And that was the Alvin and the Chipmunks fucking singing and then going into death metal, and then they're charted just eat everybody. But anyways, the whole setup that I have to say is once that, you know what, I have to say, my friends and I, back in the day, in high school, when we saw the first scary movie, it said down at the bottom of the fucking poster, officially saying it, never going to have a sequel for this movie. And they go and have this shit ton of movies.
Right, what was it? No shame, no something, and it said no sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking forward to trying to see what the new one's going to be like, which is... the 41-year-old virgin that knocked up Sarah Marshall and felt super bad about it.
Well, I guess that might be the one I have to move up on the queue on there.
And then there's a vampire movie coming out.
Actually, that looked really, really funny. I saw the trailer.
Wait, hold on. Which vampire movie would this be?
It's called Vampire Movie. It's from the same fuckers who did Epic Movie Disaster
Movie. Oh, come on now.
No. It actually looks funny.
I swear to God, if they make it for... they're probably going to make it for Underworld, Twilight... fucking
Wolfman.
No. Dude, they're gonna make it in front of mad vampire movies.
Yeah, but check this. One of the
but you can't make it in front of Underworld. Come on, Underworld was fucking epic, man.
The one that I saw that made me really laugh, right, was the dude that's supposed to be the werewolf. He changes and there's a chihuahua. And he's like, what? You're a fucking chihuahua?
Whoa. Yeah, changes into a chihuahua.
That's Stillian from the Rabbids Go Home trailer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's just too fucking bad.
You know. Vampire. Somebody's got a gun, and it looks hilarious.
That means they're probably going to make fun of. They might make fun of older vampire movies too.
And the one that Dracula. Really made me laugh is when
Van Helsing,
the dude from Twilight, supposed to introduce the girl to the family.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a paper cut, and they're like drooling. And then there's a doorbell ringing, and the guy's like, "Who ordered Chinese food?" And you see him throw the guy in. They're all munching on him, and they take off running. It looks funny. I saw the trailer at Blue's house.
Sorry to think about it.
All right, let's move on.
I'm against those two brothers who make that those movies.
I am not.
Go into sports.
I am not.
Sports now, motherfucker.
Fuck you.
Sorry, payback.
Dude, I'm sorry, but that joke did not get old.
Am I supposed to hit the table too? I'm
sorry. Yes, break your hand while you're at it.
Yeah.
Or otherwise break the table.
Sorry, I had to.
Oh man, I'm telling you, that joke does not
get old.
That really doesn't.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Alright, so this weekend.
Alright, cut that fucking thing up.
Oh my god.
Alright, calm down, you.
Continue.
So this week in sports.
Sports.
King Baby Duck tried out for sports and failed at all of them.
Oh.
He's crying right now to be honest.
Right.
Oh my god. Wait, pause it. You have to pause it now.
No.
You're actually crying, man. I'm gonna start laughing. He's crying. He's laughing so hard. He's crying. Oh my god. All right. You alright?
Yeah, I'm good.
Dude, you're laughing so freaking hard. You're crying.
Yeah, I know, man. Go. Continue.
Oh man, this is great.
All right.
Oh, this is great entertainment right here. Oh.
So, this one.
Oh, I've never seen him cry like that since I cried at the end of The Notebook, man.
All right.
I haven't cried that much since Titanic!
Alright, so now let's start off with the NBA.
I didn't cry that much since that scene in Brokeback Mountain.
Can I get you nuts? Anyway.
Yeah. Actually, the duck hasn't cried so much since he was hitting on the girl and realized she was 3 hours away from 18.
Oh.
And he had an hour left.
Anyways.
Okay, I had to. That's from another movie I saw. Okay. So, I'm gonna end with the NBA because Blue wants me to start with it.
I want to start with it.
So, baseball happened this week, and we have 6 guys going to the All-Star game. 2 of them are not officially going anymore. Going to the All-Star game would be pitchers John Lester and Clay Buchholz, along with David Ortiz and Adrian Beltre. Not going, due to injury, Victor Martinez and Dustin Pedroia. Kevin Youkilis barely lost his chance to go to New York cranky Yankee Nick Swisher. Nick Swisher's a bitch. His mom's a bitch. His dad's a bitch.
His whole family strain is a fucking bitch.
There we go. I just was going to go through the whole line, but okay, we'll keep it like that.
Just to let you know, I have no say-so in this, so if anybody, tries to assassinate anybody...
Look for the black guy.
No, do not look for the black guy. Do not listen to Anvil, all right? I can tell you his address right now.
Anvil's the black guy.
And, you know the funny thing about bitches.
That's the best.
Okay. So, basically, we have 2 more games. And then we're on All-Star break. David Ortiz will be taking part in the Home Run Derby contest.
Yay!
Hopefully he can win it. So let's, jump around a little bit more.
Jump around! Jump up and get down!
Okay.
So, yeah. Alright, well, it looks like Blue wants me to go to basketball. Free agency started and, the Celtics kept Paul Pierce and Ray Allen.
Yay!
But they signed a new player. Former Indiana Pacers All-Star. Played for, Miami. Jermaine O'Neal.
Bitches!
Yes. And there's another O'Neal that wants to come to Boston. Shaquille O'Neal.
Really?
We're on the list of Possibly. Three teams that he wants to go to. Is it us, Dallas, or Atlanta?
That'll be interesting to see Shaquille O'Neal on the Boston Celtics.
Dude, all you're gonna feel is like fucking like 5.0 earthquake every time he plays at five.
I'd be kind of scared.
And we would probably never ever make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, but I'd be really scared. It's like O'Neal, get out there, and him and Jermaine go run. Hey, hey, hey! Whoa, whoa!
Shaq.
That O'Neal. Fuck.
More or less, the one I could think about was Scary Movie 3. Scary Movie 3 or 4, was it?
4.
4, where he's just like,
oh, yeah.
David, just make the damn basket! Fucking Dr.
Actually,
Phil.
Actually, what the sad part is, when he was shooting those rocks for the basket, it looked like the best form for a three throw I've seen in a long time. Him in the playoffs looked like he was just hurling.
Let me tell you. We will never win the playoffs with Shaquille O'Neal.
Actually,
heck, we will never make it to the playoffs with Shaquille O'Neal.
Truthfully, he has a bunch of rings. He's got 5 rings.
Yeah, that's because he signed a lot of deck in Lakers.
No, the last one, no, he won one with Miami back in 2006.
So, 2006. These guys are
He was hardly in the game.
No, because he got
he was a rebounder. He passes the ball to people who can shoot.
He's got MVP awards and everything. And he actually led
for the passing.
No, MVP for the league.
For passing.
And he actually led the league in scoring 1 year. Yeah, what are you going to do with that?
And breaking the
backboard. And no, hookers don't count. If that counted, no matter.
I'm telling you, Shaquille O'Neal just needs to retire. He can't shoot for shit.
He can't retire, because you know what's going to happen? He's going to have free time on his hands, and he's going to want to make another rap record.
Or a really bad movie like Steel and Kazam.
No. He's got his criminal justice background. He could become be a cop.
Yo, imagine that one. It's like, okay, we must raid this house. And
I can see it right now. Every single criminal will be aiming at the tall motherfucker.
Dude, right? This is going to be the easiest shot ever.
Like, everybody,
I can do this with my eyes closed.
It's like, everybody, hide behind the cop car.
Oh, wait, shit, it's nighttime.
But that's it. It's like, all you hear, okay, everybody, we're taking heavy fire. Hide behind the cop car. Shaq's sitting there.
Shit, I'm too big.
The manhole cover climbs in. My feet are on the ground and my head's still above the car.
So fucked. Talk about your Man of Steel fuck up. Anyways.
Yeah.
Alright, so that's what the Celtics have done. Dwayne Wade re-signed with the Miami Heat. Chris Bosh has decided to go to the Miami Heat. So two guys from the U.S. Olympic gold medal team went. Wait, I have breaking news.
Douchebag!
Michael Jordan has decided to join the Miami Heat.
No,
I'm sorry. That was from a 5-year-old little girl, and she said Michael Jackson's still alive.
Oh, great.
Sorry, wrong phone.
In other news today, OJ is black again.
LeBron James.
Yes.
Made his decision. And he is going to play for...
Da-da-da.
His hand in his pants. What? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I think he'll be scoring more that way than he would have on the basketball court.
You mean the Al Bundy with, like, you know...
Yes. He's going to play for the Miami Heat, taking the three best friends in a long time, combining them.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
Well, a lot of people didn't know a few weeks ago
you're
that the three of them got together.
They got together and did a circle jerk.
They sat there to talk about their careers.
No. You're supposed to do it.
Wow.
Right or left, either way.
You look like a pro at that.
Oh.
No, he kept in his cheeks too much. He's not a pro. So I just hope that maybe Miami's bus is driving down the street.
And short it flips bus. Over. The short bus.
It's like it flips over and LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Wade all hit each other, tear up their legs, and have to retire.
Really? My theory is that they're not going to work too good together. They're going to have that one night where they're in the hotel room and they're doing pillow fights. Yeah, they're like, tee-hee-hee. And it's like, hey guys, let's play a bunch of game of grab ass. And they start playing the grab ass, and somebody grabs a little bit too hard, then the other one turns over and says, that wasn't nice, and punches the other one in the face. Then it gets into an actual full-out brawl. TV goes out the window.
It's the Pistons and Pacers all over again.
Yes, basically.
Well, actually, somebody leaves a bottle of KY liquid outside the room. They, you know, have a threesome, and they all fall out of the bed tearing their groins.
Yeah, it's
like Nomar.
Greco-Roman wrestling, like Will Ferrell and Ladies Man.
So, let's move on now. Last Saturday, last Saturday, the group of us got together and watched the fight of the century.
Supposedly.
Brock Lesnar makes his return against Shane Carwin to unify the heavyweight title, and this match was all Shane Carwin. Shane Carwin beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar. I think literally, I think
so. In the first round, yeah. I thought it was already over. I was just...
It should have been called, but Brock could keep on throwing his hands up. He's like, hands to face. Hands to face.
Pants on the ground.
This match was something.
Actually, I didn't think it was going to make it out of the first round at all. I told the duck, I'd be surprised if it made it out. It went second round.
And Shane Carwin took over.
Well, actually, Shane Carwin started beating down Brock Lesnar again.
And then
Lesnar got against the cage, got himself up, brings him to the ground. He's pounding him, gets his arm behind his head, has a slight choke on him, jumps over, and applies a one-arm guillotine to submit Shane Carwin.
Which is not one of his specialties.
No,
he's not a specialist.
That's what he learned from Randy Couture. I kept on telling everybody, Randy Couture helping him was going to help, and that's a wrestling move right there.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing for Randy Couture, is that ground and pound wrestler.
No, but dude, I can't believe the shots. Like, these were fucking, like, hydrogen bombs that he was landing on fucking top of.
I'm not going to lie, I think every one of us was jumping on some of those hits. You hear...
Yeah, you heard the fucking, like hits the skull. And you're like, holy shit, is he not out yet?
We were watching it with Blue's nephew, and I think he got a bloody nose off one of the hits. The force alone gave him a bloody nose.
Well, I remember the intensive training that Brock Lesnar did, not just in UFC, but back in the WWE. He would actually sit in a giant bathtub of ice for like, 30-40 minutes?
That's nothing. All of us athletes do that to cool down your body. We have one for football.
Oh.
Yeah. So more or less, but with the training and stuff that they did, he's able to have that capability of his muscle mass was just insane.
I'm just breaking news on how he was able to take that those hits.
What?
He hired Barry Bonds to hit him upside the head with a baseball bat a shitload of times.
great.
Let me tell you, he really took those hits.
Yo, he was taking them like a man too. He's bleeding and he's like, let's go!
Yeah.
That's why I really love this fight because, I think Brock Lesnar trained purposely for this fight.
Is?
Because of the fact that he knew that he was a good hitter. He knows he was a hard hitter. He knows that he never got out of the first round with him.
Fight for Shane Carwin was 1:07.
Yes.
So, I mean,
that's why he probably prepared himself to be able to take.
Yeah, he actually worked on the stamina.
You remember that early fight, the fat blonde dude? That's the guy that was Brock Lesnar's training partner.
So
that's the guy that beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar to get him ready. So he probably sat there and just laid there.
And what's his name help him too?
Randy Couture. That's how he learned that it was submissions on the ground. He became better ground to pound.
The blonde guy that was fighting him earlier, that fought with the other fight that was with the guy that trained with Shane Carwin, he lost against the guy who trained with Shane Carwin. So it was kind of like, I went, oh shit. That seems kind of crazy, and plus it was actually, not even 30 seconds into the fucking fight.
Yeah.
Like, it was a submission or some shit. It was pretty fucking insane.
But that wasn't even my favorite fight of the night.
That was his first loss, too.
For Shane Carwin? Yeah, he's 12-1, but that main fight wasn't even my favorite. My favorite was Lieben versus Akiyama.
Yeah, which was supposed to be a totally different fight.
It was supposed to be Wanderlei Silva, who broke his ribs and had to pull out against Akiyama. Chris Lieben fought 2 weeks ago, which we all watched him win. A good fight.
Which was fucking crazy, and he comes right back into it.
2 weeks later.
2 fucking weeks later. that was his entrance thing.
Akiyama's kicking the shit out of him. He's fighting hard. He gets hurt bad. But he's one of those guys that when he's hurt, he
wins
comes back.
At the end of the third round.
Yeah, they're like, final minute of the third round, Chris Lieben submits Akiyama. And I actually think, you know, a couple of these guys may have been become fans of Lieben at that moment. I don't know if you guys did, but I know I've been a fan of him for a while.
I think I was more just shocked at the fact that Akiyama comes out with Andrea Bocelli singing in the background.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I knew he was going to lose. I'm like, no, you can't come up to Andrea Bocelli and win.
No. I still think he should have came out with Maximum the Hormone.
Yeah, that would have been probably a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
On the Japanese aspect. But, yeah, it just seems that that it was kind of a shock that he didn't, you know, he didn't pull out on top. It seemed that, you know, it looked like he was going to win the fight right by the end, and then I think he might have won by decision if it did go to that. If he didn't get submitted, he would have, you know, it would have went that far.
Yeah. But
did
shows...
we have... No, I'm sorry, but did they have... Was this the night that we had a lot of breaking arms, or no, was that the last fight?
No, this fight, Lieben believed that he actually broke his arm in that fight.
Yeah, he broke his arm.
Because he's sitting there after they announced he won, he's like, yo, I need an x-ray. I think it's broken.
Yeah.
Because Akiyama had him in a submission to break his arm, and he refused to give, and he reversed it and submitted Akiyama.
Yeah, that's true.
And his arm was broken.
So that's fine.
And then the fight before that, Chuck Liddell breaks, you know, Rich Franklin's arm.
Right.
And when they did the Ultimate Fighter, Rich Franklin came out with a cast from his knuckles straight up to his shoulder.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was pink.
Oh, for cancer.
No, his trunks are pink and brown.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't know why. He's done it his entire career. Pink and brown.
Because he's so fabulous.
Maybe. He might be fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You son of a bitch.
I really wanted to go back to the oh, for fuck's sake that we were talking about beforehand.
We're going to work on that.
We actually might do a special on that.
We're going to do a special on that. I think if we can get the webcam set up, we will do that.
We'll bring the duck in. And we'll all sit there.
We'll bring Nanya in. We'll bring the taco in. We'll bring
our lesbian friends in, and you know,
we will fully break
fuck
down
things up.
Well, actually, at that point, I might not be able to.
Well,
shut up, broke dick Larry.
A couple weeks ago, I came across this article on CNN and about this guy who was trying to put a class action lawsuit against McDonald's to get him to stop selling the toys with the kids' Happy Meals.
Because they're saying that. Because there's a toy there, the kids want McDonald's, and it's going to make them fat.
Which is bullshit, because you can just buy the toy if you don't want it.
But then he might as well try to sue Wendy's, because Wendy's is selling toys too. Burger King sells toys too. And
Taco
you know what?
Bell.
It's Taco Bell. And sometimes, even KFC does the freaking
Subway
same thing.
Subway has them sometimes too.
You know what I'm saying?
The kids' meals.
It's just an extra toy for the freaking kids.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, why go after McDonald's?
Maybe they don't like
clowns. Because they're the biggest fucking corporation, and it's awesome to paint a target on a fucking clown. Because I know I love it. I love to fucking shoot it with paint.
Hey, clowns are scary.
Now, when I was a kid, I never went to McDonald's because I wanted the... Well, okay, maybe I'll admit that I did want the toy from time to time.
Really?
Because all the Beanie Babies.
Every time I went, I kept on getting stuck with fucking female fucking things. I was like, what the fuck? I got the goddamn mermaid from the fucking Hook movie. I was like, what the fuck is this? Now I can turn this in and fucking watch it float around in my pool. Woohoo!
Actually, I used to get the girls' toys and attach M80s to them and watch them blow up.
Lucky bastard.
Well, my mom told me I wasn't allowed to blow up my sister's toys.
Well, anyways, it seems that, you know, even when I was younger, I started off on those Big Macs and stuff too, so I couldn't help it.
I was just chicken nuggets. I didn't get into burgers until, like, I was 11.
Truthfully, I still love their chicken nuggets, especially now that they went all white meat.
Yep.
Oh, that's much better.
And that's another thing, too. He said, the guy who's suing him says, while he's glad that McDonald's is pushing the chicken nuggets because they're healthier...
And more healthier foods, actually. They've actually, like, added stuff like the apples and stuff like
that.
Right.
The kids have now offer milk and, you know, juice.
But that's the whole thing. These people, when they're selling it, you get the meal set up in the thing where the fries are. It's not going to be like you have to ask for the apple fries. You have to ask for the milk.
Right.
You have to ask for that shit. Why can't they have it set up where the meal just already has it built in instead of like, oh, yeah, you're going to get these unhealthy fries?
Because it says right there and then, available upon request.
See, personally, when it comes to fries, I'm a Wendy's fan. Because they're thicker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but most of the fucking people in our country barely could read, let alone speak English. How the fuck are they going to acknowledge that so their kids could eat?
Como esta?
Fuck you. Anyways, But it's more or less in the whole setup.
Well, then go to Taco Bell.
I want Taco Bell now.
Actually, I do. Actually, didn't we agree that we wanted
Taco Bell?
Taco Bell.
Fuck assholes.
Taco Bell, Taco Bell.
You promised me Taco Bell before we do,
Yeah.
Enchilito, Paso Burrito.
Chalupa.
Yes.
And if you're near Fenway Park, go to Popeye's Chicken.
Oh.
Hey, I like Popeye's Chicken.
Yeah, I love the chicken.
Popeye's is awesome.
There's one up near my job, and it's right across from Fenway Park.
But back to this whole setup, I think I'm on the other side of the table on this aspect. I think, you know, the guy kind of does have a right to sue. I think it's more or less in the idea of trying to, you know, save the fact that these kids are always just wanting to fucking go there to get the goddamn toys. It's like, you got the fucking Shrek toys, you got the goddamn fucking Toy Story, you know, movie toys, you got everything. Those kids are like, I want to collect them all, I want to fucking... You're never gonna collect them all because they never fucking put them all out.
Actually, exactly. I know there's only one toy I've ever collected all of them at.
Same here. There.
Which one was yours?
Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Beanie Babies. I got all the ones from,
Oh, wait.
This is fucking pathetic.
When they had the Yu-Gi-Oh card special thing.
Well, okay. Do you know what it is? My grandmother up in Canada, she loved Beanie Babies, and they didn't have that promotion up there, so I collected them all to give to her.
Aww.
But I did get two of the Irish one. Because, you know, of course, me and Irish, I wanted.
Yeah. But
the green bear, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, just in the aspect of it, it's... We gotta, you know, yes, they have clever ways of marketing stuff here in America because there's so much stuff that they have to go through. But there are a lot of loopholes that need to be sealed up in the aspect of when they're, you know, selling stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're gonna sell, like, a burger with fries and a milkshake or whatever to a little kid and they like that, and then they get to the point where they keep liking it, believe me, I'm... Probably one of the reasons I haven't eaten McDonald's for a long ass time. Maybe once in a while when somebody goes, oh yeah, go to your McDonald's. I'm like, fuck man, I don't eat that shit. And then they're like, oh, but I bought it. And I'm like, fine, I'll eat it anyways.
Just, it hurts coming out the other end.
It hurts coming out the other end because I haven't eaten it for a while. And especially right now, I'm doing pretty good because I haven't touched any fast foods. I've only done, you know, maybe like the actual, like, the sub shops and usually not getting anything too fucking ridiculous there. I've stopped my sausage subs. I've been more or less resorting to chicken. But it's one of those setups that... You know, these kids get rolled up, and then they wonder why they end up being a heifer. You know, like, I don't know how some of these goddamn kids can eat that shit daily and end up skinny, but there are some of the kids that have a gene or just whatever, and they eat it, it plugs up whatever, and causes them just get fat. And they just blow it up. Yeah, they fucking Fat Albert that shit. But... I never liked McDonald's because every time, like, there was something wrong with the food or whatever, and I liked Burger King, and then I came into Wendy's, and then I've kind of just dropped off. Uh-huh. Because fast food is just, it's not too fucking healthy anymore.
I love going to Wendy's and getting the baked potatoes.
Well, yeah, those are healthy. Plus I'm Irish. Guess the whole fact that they're pushing salads now, I just don't like how they store them, though. Like, they usually just don't seem to stay fresh, you know. But
kind of like the salads at Sam's at college.
Yeah, you're not joking. Yeah. More or less, I'd rip them. I'd probably want to rip them a new one just because of the fact that their marketing campaigns and how they set up everything to fucking sue them.
I think, you know, we should sue them just because we can.
Nah.
Too much of a bullshit.
Because then we would have to sue Fuddruckers. And then...
No, because that's fresh meat.
That's fresh meat, dude.
And they do offer buffalo and other healthier meats.
Yeah, because that's not that is a setup where you come in and you could, you know, you see, like, the burgers. They're already sliced up. They're right there in front of you. You see them in the fridge, and they're plopping them on the grill right there and then. That's the same thing with what we did today. We went to Texas Roadhouse. Right there on the left side. Steak, whatever else on the fucking meat counter that you could pick out your own, and they fucking slap it on the grill and fucking cook it up the way you want it.
Mm-hmm.
That is nowhere near, like, a fast food restaurant. No fucking way.
I think we should just sue all the fast foods.
Because I think that's the
whole... I'm fat.
Yeah, I kind of blame them on that sense that they've created food that had a taste to it that got stuck in my taste buds, and I actually found myself waking up going, I need fucking food! I want to go to the fucking place, break it open, and just get some fucking food.
I actually found myself having dreams about Taco Bell.
Yeah, that too.
The dance and chalupas, man.
I always, like, was going against chalupas, fucking Nacho Bel Grandes, and fucking... What else was there? My
quesadillas. I always was. That was my main fucking things that I would always eat. For
every
like,
time I see my neighbor's Chihuahua, I want Taco Bell now.
See, now that's a different place. Cheesecake Factory is a totally different setup. Yeah,
we're talking food that just sits there, that's processed,
stays under a fucking lamp.
And when they heat it up, they put it in a microwave.
Yeah. I mean, that's how that setup was at, you know, Salem State with that. They'd be like, what do you want? And they'd be like, okay, I want, you know, a Whopper, I want a cheeseburger, blah, 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 this and that. And then they fucking take it, they create it, they wrap it up in the fucking packaging, they throw it in the fucking microwave for all of not even 30 seconds, and then you toss it right back at you, and then you eat it out in the fucking thing. You're like,
yep.
Wow, fantastic.
Let me tell you, microwaving anything leftover makes it taste so disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I don't know how
people... Even cooking it beforehand for the first time, like those little microwavable things and stuff like that, not all of them taste good.
I will say, though, that McDonald's microwave is actually decent.
No, you want to know what's decent? The Turbo Chefs at Dunkin' Donuts. Let me tell you. No freaking lie, all right? I want to get some fucking pizza rolls from CVS or from the store down the street. Go to Dunkin' Donuts... since I work there, and just shove those pizza rolls into the Turbo Chef and cook that shit, because they cook that shit nice. Turbo Chefs are not microwaves. Don't ever confuse them with fucking they have microwave parts in them.
It's a convection oven, isn't it?
It has microwave parts, it has toaster parts, it has stove parts, and it has like a fucking like this like fucking special heat up type fucking coil shits inside of that. That thing shits heats up like
a motherfucker.
Like a motherfucker, alright? Turbo Chefs, like, they cost like $11,000, $12,000 for one Turbo Chef, okay? This Turbo Chef cooks your shit fast like a microwave would, but it cooks your shit and it don't taste all fucking horrible when it comes out.
Product placement!
Come to Dunkin's. America does run on Dunkin's. At least it better.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's no more lines in Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, look, everybody's at Starbucks.
Fucking Starbucks, you fucking Starbuckers.
Alright, let's wrap this up before we get into another flame war again.
Hey, his hair grew back.
And it's just going to be cut and sent to the Brillo Pad Company for shipping.
Real human hair.
100%. 100%
Brillo. Alright, let's take a fork. We're done.
100% Negro. Oh.
Visit our website at boston-brigade.com for recent news, reviews, and past podcast episodes. If you want to send us some feedback or requests for things for us to review, it's thebastards@boston-brigade.com.
Brownie. I mean, myspace.com/bostonbastardbrigade. And also, we're on Facebook as a group. Boston Bass Brigade. Your turn.
And don't forget our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MLBI. And go check out Geek Aggro.
Geeky!
And today's lottery numbers are 53, 98, 73, 10, and 5.
Sorry, the fire alarm started at that point.
And don't forget the Electric Sisterhood magazine. If you want to buy the first issue or get a subscription, go to electricsisterhood.com/magazine. And I think that's about it. Anything else?
That's really about it. How much time we got left?
We've gone over the time.
Yeah, we actually went over time, actually.
Yes.
Wow, okay then.
All right, well.
So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Lilonic! Yeah. God damn it, the fucking Mexican stand up. Once again, fine, I'll do it. This is the motherfucker, Handmill right here, and this motherfucker right here is Darkheart? Yeah,
who
Darkheart.
Who are you?
Jump this motherfucker right here.
Saying, sayonara, bitches.
We are the bastards.
1 year anniversary, motherfucker.
Cake.
Carmel.
Ice cream and cake and cake.
Product
ice cream and cake and cake.
Carmel cake.
Cake.
Let them eat cake.
The guys doing cake.